Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to ScaryCast tonight. This is Dr. John Stamey. We've got a great, great show for everyone tonight. Had a little bit of technical difficulties getting started, but we're going to have a great show. And we've got Elijah Henderson, who is from Tennessee and is part of that area called Land Between the Lakes. So we're going to have a great show tonight. And we've got with us Kyler Smith from Houston, Texas. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Doing good, John. Thank you.
Well, great. We are certainly glad to have you. We had a little bit of technical difficulties getting going. Sometimes we have those, but that's okay. And Dr. Trey and Robin McCray is with us. Robin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I was worried about you.
Oh, no. We were having a few technical difficulties, but that's okay. We're all together, and everything's great. And the one and only, our guest tonight, Elijah Henderson. Elijah, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, buddy, and I got Gabby with me here as well.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Gabby, it's nice to speak with you. Gabby Henderson, the sister of Elijah Henderson, two of our guests tonight, and they are residents very near what we call Land Between the Lakes. In fact, why don't you tell us just a little bit about Land Between the Lakes and what it is, because we have a lot of listeners that might not really know. They've heard about it. They'll say, well, it's in Kentucky, right? Or it's partly in Tennessee. So tell us just a little bit about Land Between the Lakes, okay?
Well, the thing about Land Between the Lakes is it is the largest inland peninsula in America. It actually spans across Kentucky and Tennessee. It's about the halfway portion or so. It goes across Kentucky and Tennessee. A lot of your dogman sightings happen over on the Kentucky side, and your Bigfoot sighting seems to happen on the Tennessee side. In a lot of places, you'll find that the dogman activity is in the north of the park and the Bigfoot activity is in the south of the park. It's a very interesting phenomena, but it used to be the government at one time went in there, and there's two rivers going between the area, and they flooded the area and created the largest inland peninsula in America. They created Lake Barkley and Lake Kentucky. They flooded those two areas, made those two lakes, and we have the park as we know it today, Land Between the Lakes National Recreation Area. And since the 1700s, there has been reports of French explorers coming through the region and saying that there's loup-garous in the area, which means a French werewolf. And if you go further down south, where I think it was that the French came over into Louisiana, they brought that word with them and eventually turned into the word rougarou over down around Louisiana and such. But anyway, that's getting off track. Land Between the Lakes is probably most well known for the infamous family attack by a supposed dogman creature in the 80s. A family of four went up there and was supposedly attacked and killed by a dogman creature. And there's a lot of cops that have came out and said, yes, it did happen, or family of somebody who's on the scene that's happened. A gentleman who says he was a witness there when it happened said that it happened. So there's a lot of people that have came out and said, yes, it did happen in some way, shape, or form. There's a lot of variations to that story, but that's probably what it's most well known for, the Beast of LBL attack in the 80s.
Right, and can you tell us a little bit about that story, because that is something that is very popular with a lot of people, and they don't really know the full story. And if you don't mind, give us a little bit about that story, because I think that's important to our discussion tonight.
Well, I'll boil the story down to its most basic form. There are multiple variations of it throughout the years that have been told, but its most basic version is that a family of four went up to the northern part of Land Between the Lakes. They're doing some camping, and they had either a travel trailer RV or a regular RV with them, and they were either leveling it or they got it leveled, and a dogman creature came up, and it attacked and killed the dad and then the son, and then it went inside the RV and killed the mother, and then it went after the little girl and attacked and killed her. Well, supposedly, in one variation, some hikers were coming through the area, and they seen what had happened here, and they went over into Grand Rivers and called the police and got that started up, and some people went up the law, and they investigated this, and the whole family was just, you know, killed. They're slaughtered by this thing, and they were investigating the inside of the RV, and they found some little girl's clothing. They only found three bodies, and they realized, hey, we got a missing person here. So, you know, they started doing a stake, or a stakeout's probably not the right word, but they were walking across the whole area there looking for this other person, and somebody felt blood dripping onto the top of their hat, and they looked up there, and the little girl was dead up in the tree. Now, that's one variation. Now, it's also been told that the little girl was never up in the tree. It was that she was dead about 100 feet away from the travel trailer, and that the family had actually fought against the one of these dogmen and shot it and killed it. This was the gentleman who says he was there, shot it, and between the shoulder blades, and I guess it crawled up there into the top of the tree and died, and he said that the dog man was actually what was up in the tree, but the little girl was about 100 feet away from the travel trailer. But essentially what happened was Family Four went up there, got attacked and killed by this thing, and it hinges on urban legend. You know, most everybody over in that area has heard of the Beast of LBL, and you can go up there and just say, hey, you ever heard of the Beast of LBL? And they're like, oh, yeah, we've heard of it before. And so it's definitely a prevalent story up in the area. But, you know, it's been such a long time. And if something like that ever actually got out into the public news or the public forum that a family was actually slaughtered by a creature up there, then the park would lose out on a lot of money. It'd lose out on a lot of visitors. So I believe that somebody went in there and probably cleaned up the site. Not accusing for certainly, but I think it's very possible that a organization came in, cleaned everything up, let nature retake itself, and covered it up. You know, you can go up into the area where the family was said to be attacked, and you can find the cut-down light poles. You can find what looks like old RV slips. You can find the old water pipes, the concrete structures that could have been bathhouses. It looks like something happened here, and they went in and let nature retake itself, you know, down the light poles and knock everything down and just let the grass grow, let all the trees grow back in the way and just forget it was ever an area. But that's in a nutshell what is said to have happened down there.
Right, and that is a very, very famous story about the Land Between the Lakes. And that's something a lot of folks in the paranormal world know. And a lot, but yet that is a very well-known vacation haven, and lots of people go there all throughout the year, correct?
Absolutely. Now, at one time I had some of the numbers on just a portion of the money they make, and it's quite staggering. And, you know, if something like this ever really got out, those numbers would drop. You know, you got throughout the year, the different hunting times, you got people will come into Land Between the Lakes and they'll go into hunting areas. They like to hunt for deer and coon hunt, turkey hunt. You got people who do the backwoods camping throughout the whole year. You got the couple of the main campgrounds like Piney or Wranglers where people go and ride their horses. There's a lot of things people like to go there and do. They got a planetarium. They got a nature center. They got an 1800s working farm that people like to go see. And if people knew that there was something that looked like a werewolf wandering around out there, people probably aren't going to want to visit quite as much.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the first bad question. So many people so many people seem to know about Dogman and seem to know about that haunted history of Land Between the Lakes. Why isn't it more prevalent? Why aren't people afraid? Why isn't there a general pallor, a paleness about Land Between the Lakes? I mean, do people just not know? Is it not that well known? I mean, I don't know, maybe I deal in the paranormal. And Robin and Kyler are here, and they've heard about Land Between the Lakes. And they've heard about Dogman. But for goodness sake, is it that little known? Question mark. There's my bad
question.
And
before I answer that, I'd just like to say, hello, Robin and Tyler. How are you both doing tonight?
Hey, Elijah. I'm doing good.
Hey, I'm doing good. Very interested in what you have to say.
Thank you, ma'am. It's good to meet you. I've heard a lot of good things about you.
Oh, thank you so much. You're very kind. I appreciate it. And John's told me wonderful things about you.
I appreciate that. I guess about the LBL question, I guess what you mean is why aren't they showing up a lot more? Why do people not know much more about them and why people aren't seeing them more, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, a couple of explanations there. If we got a physical creature that is running around throughout this area, there is a lot of land up there. It's a massive area. If you're there at night, you can almost just get lost driving along the trace. It's the main road because it goes on for miles and miles and miles. And all the while you're going down the trace, there's just acre after acre after acre of forest on your left and your right. Now, that'd be a lot of area for something to move for a creature that is primarily nocturnal that doesn't come out a lot in the daytime. And, you know, most people who go into LBL, they're just there to go to Piney or a couple of these odd and end camping spots. They're not messing around in these vast spaces of nothingness, you know, where something could be wandering around. And to go further, these things tend to move around about midnight through about 4 o'clock in the morning when everybody's settled, they're asleep. Unless there's weirdos out there like us, you know, people aren't going to be out looking around for a creature that would be running about at that time of night anyway. Secondly, there are people, you know, they'll go their whole lives and visit that park. They'll hunt, fish, and camp there for years without seeing anything or hearing a camp or a twig break without having anything happen. But you have other people who do go up there and have an experience, but they may not have one ever again, you know. And I'd blame that partially on just because it is such a big area there. A right place in the right, being in the right place at the right time, I would blame it on that partially.
There are people who visit the Smoky Mountains and never see a black bear, even though the black bear are very prominent in the Smoky Mountains. So really, it does have a lot to do with luck and being in the right place at the right time.
And people will go up there
looking. Yeah.
They'll go up to the Smoky Mountains and specifically look for grizzly bears or black bears.
Black
is that what you
bears.
Said? Black bears, my bad. And they'll never find them even though they're looking for them. And a lot of these people, they are people who are there on vacation, maybe from up north or further away that just haven't heard of the Beast of LBL, so they don't know to look. They're just there to camp, hunt, fish, and just spend some time with their family. And I guess also a lot of people go to these pre-made camping spots like Piney or Wranglers, and more than likely they're not going to have something there happen there anyway. But when you get into these areas that are obscure, far off in the woods, in areas where they tend to walk around anyway, you might have something up there. And there have been things seen in the daytime. That does happen. But I don't know how common it is. And, you know, a lot of times, if somebody does say something up there, they probably aren't publicly announcing it either. They're keeping it to themselves. They may mention it to a buddy or two or not mention it whatsoever.
Right. And now I'd like to bring Robin into the mix here, because Robin is very familiar with Bigfoot. She knows a lot about it. She's experienced a lot about Bigfoot. And Robin, wouldn't you say that the person that goes out into the woods looking for Bigfoot might not necessarily find what they're looking for? Kind of like if you're going out into the woods of LBL looking for Dogman, you just might not find Dogman if you're out there looking for it. Could you please comment on that?
Yeah. First of all, I deal with all cryptids. I deal with ETs, all the cryptids that are out there, elementals, dimensional, anything. Okay. I have since I was a little kid. I have dogmen here in my backyard. I have no issue with them at all. They've been very helpful. I have a werewolf across the driveway. Again, wonderful, not had a problem. But when it comes to the LBL stuff, John is correct, and so is Gabby. You know, this is a vast area. So if somebody comes in, these things aren't all sitting there waiting for somebody to come into this park going, I'm going to jump you the second you drive in. That's not how it works. They have their own lives. They have their own packs. And there's the Bigfooter over that way as well. And so if it happened to be around when someone's there, it doesn't make it any true that they exist there. It just means they're not there. I mean, Gabby was 100% right. And so, you know, that's one of it. The other thing about it is, again, if they think you're out hunting them, unless you come up on the right one that's going to get you before you get it, they're not going to be out there. They like the element of surprise. Nothing wants to be hunted. And it's just that simple. As far as, you know, why do people keep going there? The government doesn't want anybody to know what's going on at LBL. My guess is with whatever dogman that got shot that one time, the government got the body, because that's what happens with everything else. They don't want the trade to go down. There's no money to be made if everybody's too afraid to come to the park. The other side of that that's really incredibly sad to me, and there is a reason why they're all there, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but what I find is really, really sad is that because the government doesn't want people to know these things exist for a multitude of reasons, not just the revenue, innocent people go there and they get hurt, even killed, when it could have been avoided if some kind of warning was out there. But they don't, for a lot of reasons, the revenue is just one of many. And so they don't want people to know about it. Anything is hush-hush. People that do see them, people that have been attacked and live to talk about it, the government will be on them as quick as possible, and they will be made to be quiet. It happens in the Bigfoot world all the time. It happens in the dogman world all the time. I know people that that's happened to. You know, somebody that had gotten a sample from a dogman, not on purpose, but he had got it because it got hurt, and the government was on him like flies on poo. They don't want this stuff out, and they're not going to let anybody know. So what will happen is any information that is put out, they'll discredit it, or they'll sweep it under the rug. And it's very sad, because there are people that have lost their lives because of it. But then you also have these people that want an experience so bad, because as humans, everybody thinks they're bigger and badder than everything out there, when in reality, we're the low man on the totem pole. We really are. We're more vulnerable. Our bodies are more vulnerable than any of these cryptids are out there. And so they don't care if they get a good experience. They just want an experience. And so they'll go out there to poke at these things just to piss them off so they can get a sighting of them or get a photo of them. These things are incredibly intelligent. They are incredibly strong. They have paranormal abilities that will make your hair fall out. We don't have much of a chance with them. Doesn't mean that they can't be killed, but it's not an easy way to kill them, and you have to be able to, your timing has to be so precise that it's just incredible. Are there some that have gotten killed? Yeah, there's some that have been hit by cars and got killed too, and the government gets every sample, every hair sample, every body, you know, all of that. Okay, we've gotten hair samples from them before, and I'm telling you, it's like, I don't have them here at the house, obviously, and mine are already been taken out of here and tested. But the thing of it is you end up playing hide the sample because it's only a matter of time. I don't know how the government finds out about it, but they do. They always do. And people get hurt, killed over this stuff. They're not going to let the secrets of these things out. The government has created some of them. Some of them were born on this planet. Others were ET created. The Ebens created a certain variation of it. There's another group of ETs that created them. You know, the DNA, according to the dogmen, their DNA, if tested, is going to come back human, canine, and ET. That's from them. That's what they told me. Okay? The Bigfoots, I worked on the DNA with Melvin Ketchum, but I had already asked them years ago. I've been talking and dealing with these things since I was a kid. They're a human hybrid. They're human and ET. They're all created. Now, that doesn't mean that the government hasn't put their hands in. They wanted the super soldiers. So there's and these are just a few of the insignificant reasons why everything is kept under wraps. It's a really,
okay, Robin,
really deep rabbit hole.
Robin,
first
of all, that's a very interesting point, and I'd like to ask, I guess, the next obvious, you know, I like obvious questions because they need answers. Now, Elijah, I know that you are speaking on August the 13th at the North American Dogman Project Conference, which is in Paris, Tennessee, which is essentially
awesome.
At Land Between the Lakes. And tell us, what do you know about that organization? Because, I mean, we all know about MUFON, which is the UFO network of explorers and people that investigate it. We all know a little bit about BFRO, the Bigfoot Research Organization, which investigates these sightings. What do you know and or could you tell us about the North American Dogman Project? Because when I went on there, I said, well, okay, I think I'll just join. And it said, well, you can't join right now. We're redoing everything. And you have to be somebody that's going to go out and investigate, or we don't want you as a member. And I thought, well, that's a little bit on the exclusive side because I do research on this. But I don't know that I'm going to want to go out in the world of the woods and put myself at risk to go hang out with a dog band. So, I mean, just what do you know about that organization?
Well, I guess I'd like to start out by saying it's not actually the North American Dogman Project's conference. The conference is actually run by Ken Gerhard and Josh Turner, but the guy who runs North American Dogman Project is going to be there, Jody Cook and Nick Valente.
And I believe he'll be speaking.
Yeah, he should be speaking too. As far as I know, it's not – they are going to be there, you know what I mean?
Right.
The actual group
Ken
itself
– I met Ken in Nebraska.
Oh, you met him in Nebraska,
sorry,
Robin?
I missed that.
Yeah, I did. He comes from a little different side than I do, but I think he's a wonderful person. He's very educated. He knows his stuff. I have nothing but good things to say about him. He believes they are purely physical, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that belief. The only reason why I go to the other side is because I've physically seen these things, and I've seen them do various things. And so that's the only reason why I come from that side of it. For a long time, I thought they were purely physical too. And then, as I grew up and I watched them and they were constantly around and stuff, that was the only thing that changed it for me. But, no, I like Ken very much. He's a really super, super sweet guy. I thought he was wonderful.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, what's up, guys?
My name is Mark. I just joined in. Sorry I was late. I was supposed to be in here. I was just listening to you guys, though. And Dogman is always the thing when these types of podcasts that always interest me because it's the one thing I don't know the most about. But by the sounds of what you're saying, it reminds me a lot of, like, where I'm from in BC, like cougars. Cougars are always around, right? But you never see them. Is there some type of stealthiness or potentially something else going on there that's outside our direct perception that they know how to avoid? And potentially, as of Bigfoot, as they're like the most elusive hide-and-seek characters of the world, right? Is there something else going on there that's like direct getting outside of our perceptual zone that they're able to maintain that? And sometimes they come in that, sometimes they don't. And that's where we get that cross or those, you know, stories or like circumstances where we do have the reports. But if what I'm saying is true, because like, again, like I was in a major area of where there was a lot of cougars. I only saw one time in this whole time. So like, as far as wildlife goes, but something that's cryptid oriented, there might be another type of factor there as well. Robin, I know you probably could explain that well. What do you think about that?
So, you know, the thing with those is it's like the same thing with all the cryptids. If they want you to see them, you're going to see them. If you are in their territory and they're nearby enough and they are aware you're in your territory and they want you gone, trust me, you're going to see them because they're going to get your butt out of there. You know, a lot of them, the dogmen, where the Bigfoots had this weird, wicked sense of humor anyway. We've only had two dogmen that really were funny and liked to play the pranks and stuff because some of them, well, for the most part, they're more stoic. You know, they would just as soon be left alone. They don't need to be bothered. You know, I've got the picture of the baby here, and then Pat got a couple pictures of them across the road because we live on a two-track dirt road. And there was a couple of them over there the other night. He got some good pictures. But the baby, I think, is the better picture that we have. And I got a picture. You can only see the head and the ears sticking up and the other one in the backyard. But they do have these abilities. And I know it's very difficult for people to look outside the box and acknowledge it. Again, I thought they're flesh and blood all the time. They're not all the time flesh and blood. They are flesh and blood. But they can change that by raising the vibration in their energy, and they can cloak like the Bigfoots do. And I've watched them do it. I had one come up in our backyard, and I watched it do it.
Is this like a type of like hybrid? Would you say like Island of Dr. Moreau? You know, like you know the crossbreeding animals and things
hybrid.
Like. It's like what do you call that? A chimera? Like nowadays, like we're doing these experiments. I think China's doing it. United States probably is too, but like secret black operation,
no,
but. I know China and Japan and things, they're like straight up crossbreeding pigs and human fetuses right now.
Well, so they've been doing that here for years. But the government created, the original dogmen were created by ETs. There's some that were out of Egypt that years ago, Native Americans claimed that they had some form of in creating their kind. There's several different kinds. The government also created them because they wanted them for warfare. That's been broadcasted all over the place, which is amazing to me that the government even let that out. So those people that were talking about it, I'm not sure how much I believe of that. Do I know for a fact? Yeah, I have government contacts. That's why I knew that they had. And they wanted them for warfare. Some of the ones that they didn't use and they cut loose, they were bred to be aggressive. They are aggressive. Land Between the Lakes, there's a reason they're there. I will tell you that. There is an absolute reason that they're over there.
Robin, I'm sure you know, and maybe some like John, you as well, you have these deep underground bases, the Dumbs, right? And apparently this is where these experiments are going on, where they're creating these chimeras or like different hybrid species. Maybe some are alien-based, maybe some are not. Maybe it's like different animal-based. But I'm wondering if like in some of these locations that's what we're actually seeing over the years, these black operations just coming to the surface, literally.
I think that some of the ones that were created by the government, I mean, I don't know every area they've dropped them off in. I know several, but I don't know all of them, obviously, because I don't know. I'm not an expert. I'm just somebody that's experienced a lot. And but I'm not going to say that's not possible, Mark, because I have learned over the years that nothing is impossible. But do I think that is, you know, the Bigfoots call everything that the government's created and cut loose without a name a Micaiah. And there's all different kinds of them. They've crossbred everything. They've crossbred the Bigfoots with the Dracos, for God's sakes. So, you know, there's just a lot of stuff out there. And most of the stuff that were created by the government, you have to remember, they were not created for good. They were created to be aggressive. So that's where you get in the problems with that.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, and now, Elijah, I've got a question for you. You told us Wednesday night that there were a number of people throughout history who have experienced dogmen, especially Alexander the Great. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that story? Because I think that's fascinating, and it certainly ties in with what Robin's saying.
Sure, absolutely. So if you go back through history, a lot of your historians would actually talk about something called the cynocephali. They're called the dog-headed men, and they were always described as being something physical, almost like a pack of something that was living over in India, always described very physical in nature. Herodotus wrote about them. Marco Polo, the Greek physician, mm-hmm. Theseus wrote about them. And like you said, John Alexander the Great, when he was conquering India, he would write back to Aristotle, it was his teacher, and he'd say, there's dog-headed men living here in India. And if I recall correctly, they would fight them in battle and possibly even mm-hmm. captured a couple of them and were using them as weapons because they were said to be very fierce. And, you know, there's even more sources on those things. I think it was St. Andrew was always represented as having a canine head, too. He was supposed to be one of the cynocephali, and the early church members would actually reference the cynocephali, and they debated over whether or not that they should go and minister to them as Christians, because they debated over whether or not they had a soul, these dog-headed men. But to touch briefly on the human hybrid thing that Robin mentioned, if you go back and look at the Book of Jasher, and I don't know if the Book of Jasher is accurate or not, but it makes an interesting comment that at the time before the flood, people would kidnap wives of the other men, and they'd force them to breed with animals, and they'd amalgamate species of man and animal, create these creations, that these confused species that God didn't create, and have them running amok. And there's actually a woman from the 1800s. She's believed to be a prophet. I do believe the Lord worked through her and showed her visions and messages. She's supposed to have had over 2,000 visions in her lifetime and even predicted things that came true. But the reason I say that is she had a book.
Now, Elijah, real quickly, what was her name?
Oh, her name was Ellen Goulding White. She was a woman living through the 1800s, Ellen White. But
okay.
She had a book called Patriarchs and Prophets, and she said that one of the base crimes that called for the flood was that man was amalgamating animal and man together and making confused species that God didn't create. And when the actual flood waters came, those confused species died in the flood waters, and the ones that God created, they were safely on the ark. And she noted that sometime after the flood, when man started increasing in population on the earth again, that man started amalgamating the species again. So is that possibly what we're seeing today? Could that be an explanation for why we have all these strange creatures, you know, dog men, Bigfoot? You know, sometimes you have people – I've heard reports of gator men before, and, John, you're very well-educated on the lizard man, you know. Could this be an education
–
explanation? That's the word I'm looking for.
You're talking about, like, biblical things, pre-biblical. Like, when I think of that, I think of, like, Egyptian. And when you look at, like, hieroglyphs, you have Thoth, who's, like, a bird man, essentially. And then, like, there's these depictions. One is the canine one, right? They have a head of a canine but a human body. Is there potentially some, like, relics of our past that kind of signify that, maybe?
Could easily be, you know.
That's
kind
of frightening. No, you're fine. Go.
There's actually, have y'all ever heard of the Acambaro figures before?
No.
I have not. The Acambaro figures?
Over in Acambaro, they find all these little clay figurines. It's kind of like the Ica stones. They found all these old ancient figurines of what appear to be dinosaurs. And the reason I bring those up is in some of the collections of those ancient clay figurines they found, there's one where this woman is sitting up on top of kind of looks like a high column, and it looks like these two big bipedal wolves are after her. I've actually got a picture of it somewhere, and there's another one. I can't remember if it's one of the Akambaro figures, but it looks like a bipedal wolfman of sorts. I've got the pictures of them. I could send them to you, John, but they're fascinating looking.
Well, now, where is Akambaro? That is a place I've never heard.
Let's see. Let me look that up real quick. I think it's in Mexico.
I believe Mexico or South America is correct.
The Akambaro figures are about 33,000 small ceramic figures in the Mexican city of Akambaro, and I don't know how to pronounce that, so I'm not going to. So, Mexico.
Sounds like Chupacabra to me.
Could possibly
Maybe. Well, like a
similarity between that. That would be awesome to see. I mean, not up close in real life, but I'm just saying it would be awesome to see figures because there are so many cryptids that people don't realize that we have. I mean, it's really, I saw one that looked like it had a head of a possum in the body of a man. I mean, it's nuts, you know, and there's so many running around. Like, people really don't have any idea what all's out there. And I know there's more stuff out there that I haven't seen, you know, but there's just so much of it. And when it comes to the dogmen, there's variations based on who created it and how it came to be. You know, it's like when you talk about the werewolves generally don't have the tail where the dogmen do. I have a photo of a hybrid that was the dad was a Bigfoot, the mom was a dogman, and she's a hybrid. She looks like she has a teddy bear face because she doesn't have the full snout or anything, but yet she's got a tail. She was with the Bigfoot. She was with the clan that I had at my house for years. When I moved, she was still there.
Do you guys know about the stories in England, like werewolf in London? But there's other ones that are like these tales. I don't know what it was, Sherlock Holmes or something maybe, where it was like there was actually wolfman stories in England as well. So like there might be some historical aspects in Europe as well. Do you guys know anything about that?
Well, for one thing, there's the Beast of Gévaudan in 18th century France. For about a 2-year period, some type of unknown creature that a lot of people did describe as wolf-like just slaughtered, I believe it was around 200 people, mostly women and children. And then those who did survive the attack did describe it being more wolf-like in nature.
And I have heard that it was bipedal.
Yeah.
Don't know if that's true or not, but I have heard that.
Now, obviously, that could be, confused with some type of, wild animal or whatever, you know, when you're going back historic like that. But when there's these, I like to see these parallels between cultures and stories and coming up to today's, with John's show that we often talk about, like today's encounters, you know, when there's that parallel, which it seems to be with this, like I said before, wolf man or dog man is new to me. I know Bigfoot, aliens, other things. But this is an interesting subject, and I always want to look at the historical basis. It seems like you guys know a bit about that.
Well, we like the historical side, you know, because you got all these old legends of different creatures, and, you know, sometimes they're presented as mythological creatures, but maybe not always, you know, just for example, I guess like the cynocephali, you know, a lot of people view him as just some sort of mythological figure, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's a dog man. So we like the historical aspect because a lot of times you can find some good evidence for what we research today by going through the past.
Do you guys know anything about like parallel Earths or parallel dimensions where these types of beings or cryptids phase in once in a while, and that's where we count them, but they're also not there, they phase out. And that's why we see them so close to civilized areas, but yet they're not there type of thing.
Honest answer for me is anything of a – I kind of think you have a couple of things going on, honestly. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I look at things through the lens of a great controversy between good and evil. I think – honestly, a lot of your encounters are probably something of a supernatural nature. You know, a lot of your dogman sightings, they'll grin at people and just seem to just thrill at terrifying somebody. And that doesn't seem very natural, you know. A lot of times people see a Bigfoot stepping in a portal or out of a portal, or it'll disappear out of nowhere. Same with a dogman. My honest personal opinion is that it's something of a supernatural nature appearing like something like that, perhaps just to terrify or just to confuse people. But that's basically how I look at that. Not so much that they're bleeding in from another dimension, but if you did have a fallen angel that was presenting itself as one of these creatures, that is something interdimensional. You know, we don't see them, but they're all around us. There's a spirit world of sorts. You know, we can't see demon spirits, we can't see angel spirits, but we know they're around us. And there's even some documents released by the FBI vault talking about alien creatures that would come in and out of our realities. Not they come from a different world, not so much that they come from a different planet, but like a different world that kind of interpenetrates our own. I feel like that'd be the same thing, you know, just something crossing over that threshold where we can see it.
I think you explained it really well there, and I agree that maybe it's just directly outside our perceptual zone. If there are intelligent hominid beings alongside us, you know, naturally they'd be able to, you know, maybe phase in and out. And maybe we're just ignorant to the larger scope of reality that we're directly a part of, which I think would be pretty accurate to describe myself. Like, come on, we don't really know what the hell's going on here.
No,
that's interesting, yes.
I think we know very little about our world, honestly.
I agree 100%.
We need to know.
The world that we've been told exists never existed to begin with.
So false reality. There's a false reality created, like a false, like, I don't know, virtual reality system that we're a part of, but we don't know the coding. We don't understand what the operating system actually is because we're existing in this, like, false reality virtual world of Kim Kardashian, whatever the hell else, CNN and things, right?
Well, I guess that'd be one way to look at it, you know. Take the movie They Live, for example. You know, everybody's seen what was going on the surface. You know, they'd look at the sign for McDonald's and it says double quarter pounder with cheese or something like that. But when they put on the glasses, they'd see it say consume or obey, reproduce. You know, a lot of people are distracted with just what's going on around them. They don't have a desire to look at anything mysterious around them. They're comfortable living in the state they're in, you know.
We've talked about that a lot on our show, actually. John, he's a wrestling guy, and his Roddy Piper. We've talked about this a few times, right, John, about They Live?
Yes, we have. That's right. It's a wonderful movie, and it's something that made a lot of people think. I know that the idea of the movie They Live was brought to us by Papa Stroh, the maestro of wrestling, good friend. I just spoke with him tonight. He's going to be the big guest at the Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic-Con and at the Havelock Comic-Con. He's now an award-winning movie actor. I'm just so glad he's doing well. But he is the one that brought the idea of the Roddy Piper movie They Live to us. Now, Robin, I wanted to ask you something. Are you familiar with the movie They Live?
No, I'm not. I am probably the worst cryptid person because here's the thing. I need these things around me every day. I don't watch a lot of movies about them. I do if it's somebody I know in there. Like, I just got done shooting a documentary. The chances of me ever watching it are probably zero.
You should watch it. You should watch it. It's on YouTube. You can YouTube it. And seriously, it's a classic. And thanks for bringing that up to remind me about that movie because that's totally accurate. He puts the glasses on and you can see the reality for what it is, right? And I think that's what we're at least attempting to do here. We don't have the answers, but it's like, okay, let's put those glasses on and let's see what's going on behind the scenes here.
My whole perception is skewed because
I never knew any other reality. Like, you know, most people grow up, and as they get older, and or even if they're a child or whatever, they get older, and then they start seeing these things, and they start having encounters, and they get brought into this whole different world. I never knew anything different. In fact, my neighbor next door called me over there yesterday because her son got something on camera, and I'm going to help her deal with it. It's not one of the cryptids, but we were talking, and she was talking to her son, and she's like, when her mom came to visit her last time, I talked to her mom. This has been going on since she was a child. I was like, okay, you know. So I never knew any of this stuff. It didn't exist for everybody. My mind spoke before I could talk. You know, my view was always different. I never had the normal view that everybody else had.
John, what do you think's going on with the dogman? Do you think it's here, like in the States, like a natural being, or is it like what we were talking about, kind of like phasing in and things with, or maybe part of a grander network of things, cryptids going on?
Okay. Well, thank you. You're the first person that's ever asked me that question. What is dogman? Dogman is very physical, but like everything else that they seem to be so few of them, I go by the idea of the minimum viable population. To keep dogmen alive, you'd need 750 dogmen to keep reproducing with each other.
Yeah, naturally like that.
To generate a population. And so where are they? It's like I said this last week on a podcast. I said, you know, if there were 750 Bigfoot in the Francis Marion National Forest between Myrtle Beach and Charleston, we'd be tripping all over them. They're not there. But
Maybe the ones we are the ones that are the males going between tribes to get some of that Bigfoot. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, we would be tripping all over them if there were 750 of them in a relatively small, maybe 15,000 square feet of the Francis Marion National Forest. And they're not there, but yet there are Bigfoot. So where are they? Well, they exist in a collection somewhere. And so it must be that they exist in another dimension. And occasionally,
hey, John, you probably know this. Like, I lived in BC, where there's an area where we have the Ogopogo, it's called, which is the dragon in the water. And like, you know, in Lake Champlain or Loch Ness, whatever, there's this current theme that is a lake monster that always looks the same, right? And I look at these parallels, and I'm like, okay. And I think that conclusion that you're drawing when it comes to like dogmen and things, it's like, okay, there seems to be something going on. Obviously, they're not here, like in that reproduction cycle of like our known ecology of things, but maybe there is something beyond our perception, like interdimensional. Well,
they're all multidimensional. Okay, the dogmen, the Bigfoot, whatever, they can be in flesh and blood 1 minute, and they can be multidimensional another minute. Then you also have the other kick in the pants is they cloak. They simply do. They raise their vibration and they cloak. I've watched both of them, the dogman and the Bigfoot, drew in front of my eyes. Like, I wasn't, you know, everybody had this big debate over the whole cloaking, and I was like, I always assumed they did because they said they did, but I hadn't seen it. This was years ago. Until I actually stood near one and watched them do it. They can walk up to you, and the Bigfoot counting to the dogman, I don't know what they call it, but they can come right up on top of you, and you don't know they're there. You literally don't. Like, they used to come up behind me when I was...
Do our guests have any, like, supernatural experiences? Do you guys who are our guests have any experiences that you've had that's opened your eyes up to, you know, alternate realities or perceptions of our world? No,
Elijah, do you have
any? I didn't quite hear.
Were y'all talking to me?
Yeah, I'm like, do our guests
Elijah,
here?
I'm sorry. Could you say the question one more time?
I was just saying, do you guys have any experiences that opened your eyes up to the reality of like some supernatural phenomenon that you experienced personally?
Well, not so.
When I was a child, I guess I was maybe about 5-6 years old. I was laying in the bed asleep with my mom and dad. And Emma was like saying just puked on us from the ceiling. I know that's weird, but that's the best way I could describe it. My mom and dad said they heard a gag. I don't remember that part because, I mean, I was 5. But anyway, some water just flew down from the ceiling and just saturated the bed, saturated us. And they got up and looked around. There was nothing in the room that had could have gotten in the room. There was no leaks in the ceiling. Something just essentially puked on us from above, and there was nothing there.
Yeah, turn on the light.
And you felt, you all felt it? A few people felt that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, our clothes were wet when, you know, we were asleep when it happened, but my parents said they heard something gagging. They thought we got sick in the night, and I guess they felt the splatter of something, and turn on the lights. Nothing's in there. We're both sleeping pretty comfortably, and but all of our clothes are wet, so, like something threw up on us from the ceiling.
That's crazy, man.
But see, like, people that believe in the just the flesh and blood part, I have respect for them. I mean, that's what they believe in. That's okay. But it just means that they haven't experienced that paranormal side yet. You know, so there's nothing wrong with it if they wish to believe that they're just flesh and blood. You know, it doesn't offend me or anything. And I don't feel that, you know, they're wrong because in their head they have not witnessed any of the paranormal things, like what you guys were describing. That was a paranormal event.
I had something that happened the other night to me. So I was in bed and I woke up to like almost a lucid state, and my neck, like where you're like, I don't know, thyroid or larynx or like hyoid bone, you have this hyoid bone in your neck, was like vibrating. It was like, right? Like somebody was putting a literal vibrator, to my neck, right? That's what I felt when I woke up, and I'm like, that just happened like 3 days ago, and I don't know what the hell is going on there. I don't know. Maybe it's just like my like weird like in between perception of sleep state and things that I miss like sensed things, but it's like no, I don't think there's something else going on with like interdimensional states at least.
Okay, thanks, Mark. That's very interesting, and I guess I've got a question to our guests. Other than when you were, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old and you had that happen, have you ever had any other paranormal / physical experiences that have happened to you?
There was a time, I suppose, about, I guess, a year and a half ago. So we have a bunch of outdoor Christmas lights, right, decorating the yard and such.
Yeah.
Anyway, for a while there, every now and then we'd go out and we'd get home, and the lights will have just turned themselves on. Now, the buttons are, like, really hard, stiff buttons, so a cat or something could have turned them on. There's no way it can be turned on without physically going over and pressing a hidden button. But we'd come home, and they'd just be turned on. So one night
That's
we decided,
awesome.
Okay, we'll turn them all off, and now we're going to put a trail cam out, see what's going on. And an hour or so later, we go out, and more lights are on, just out of line of the camera.
Now, I want to elaborate. This is all while we've been working on a Bell Witch documentary. You know, there's an urban legend about the Bell Witch that when you work on a movie or a documentary that you're going to have a whole lot of bad luck happen. I talked to a gentleman, sort of interviewed him. He was in a fairly well-known Bell Witch documentary, and when they finished it, they had the film reel, and the studio caught fire around it. They were able to save the footage, but the studio caught fire, and then a gentleman who was editing a Bell Witch documentary for a TV show, he came up real sick while he's working on it, and his computer wouldn't work. Now, in our case, I'm not going to say that it was the Bell Witch, but I thought it was interesting. In the time that we've been working on those videos, my mother got cancer and died. My dad got COVID and died. We had 3 cars blow up. We had a dryer or a washer tear down on us. All 4 of us had to go to the emergency room. I almost lost my eye, and just a lot of other things. I think we may have had animals go missing or die or get sick. Just a lot of terrible bad luck, and we'd had a script ready. It was going to be over 90 pages, which that it was going to be a multi-hour video. When my dad was in the hospital with COVID, he said, "Boy, we're gonna do one more part so it's not left up in the air, and we're gonna stop with the Bell Witch video. We're not gonna do the whole series. We're just gonna do one more so it has some conclusion to it. But that's it." And those Christmas lights, that's what's going on. The Christmas lights, that's what's going on during the same time. And something sat down in the bed with my mom. Something sat down in the bed with my mom and dad. You know, so there was stuff happening.
That's crazy.
And
like
Robin,
it seems like a stream of bad luck that it was you're just not in the right frequency zone or something. I don't know how to explain that.
Right. And Robin, do you have any commentary about that? Because that seems like something you might at least be familiar with or have some meaningful commentary about.
When you neb or look into situations of some of these darker, what I call a darker entity, okay, for lack of a better term, they fight back and they do a couple of things. They will blow up your entire world so that you're so preoccupied trying to save yourself and everything going on around you that you don't have time to get into their business. And that's where they do it. And then on top of that, these darker entities, and again, I've had to deal with this stuff before, so that's why I said my heart breaks for you having to go through that. Been there. I've dealt with that stuff before. I had a friend that actually got killed because of it. And the other thing is these dark entities feed on negative energy, okay? So if you are, like, let's say, and I'm not saying this is it, I'm just saying, let's say it was because of the stuff you were digging into with the Blair Witch. She set off this event where all these bad things started to happen, but not as bad as what it did get to. It creates negative energy around you, okay? And then when you're depressed, when you're upset, of course you would be. Anybody would, or if you're sick or injured or whatever, it creates that gray energy or dark energy. Then you have
Robin, can I jump in here for a sec? I think it has to do with dealing with kind of what we would consider as the occult. And I know myself, and I want to say that you guys are in, or sorry, it's a good or bad thing, but it just is. It's like there's some kind of things that happen where you tap into potentially. I don't know if it's because of this Blair Witch or not. I think this is the supernatural in itself, like spiritual world type of thing, or subconscious world. We tap into it through certain means, and it manifests in other means. It is what it is. Like as far as like experiencing the spiritual world goes.
Well, in my experience, when you tap into this stuff, they fight back. Okay. So they create problems, and that creates this darker energy. And then once it starts creating that darker energy, it's like a beacon for all these other entities and things that come through the dimensions. They feed on the dark energy. The bad ones do, not the good ones, but the bad ones. So it's like if you go to a buffet and you see nothing but steak and lobster, you're going to pig out. And that's what happens. And then all of these other things are now there, and they want to keep you down in that gray energy because they just keep feeding from you. And it drains your energy. It blows up your life. And they do that, but it starts out because they don't want you in their business anymore. And that
can
happen.
How do you protect yourself then? You protect yourself energetically through, like, meditation type of techniques or, like, just being a healthy person, eating a lot of fruit, eat some fruit and vegetables, you know, be a higher vibe. Okay. Like, how would you do it?
Meditation isn't going to protect you because it will make you calmer and bring you peace as long as you're not talking to things, because unless you know how to read the energy, you could be talking to something that says they're good when they're bad. But the only way to protect yourself on it is through the energy work, because you have to put up, you know, there's ways to do it. I teach people to do it all the time, and you can protect yourself that way. You're going to bring what they call the white light of Christ and energy combined, and you have to push it off, you know, fill your body with it, do almost like an energy bubble around yourself to protect it. But I'm just telling you, that's why they do it.
And I understand what you're saying, Robin, because like I do massage therapy myself, like I deal with all types of people, and that energy bubble is key. You have to, I call it shielding, and like you have to sanitize yourself, your energetic being, like your light being, and what's around you always, or else you'll bring other energies in, whether it's through people or your environment, that's going to be potentially discombobulate you or like disharmonic you. You know what I mean?
Damn.
Yeah, I mean,
another thing you can do is when you push that energy out around you that's positive to get them off you, directly go into a cold shower. You want it above your head, going down ice cold, which really sucks. But ice cold, it goes down the drain. And then when you're done, you go, you push your good energy down the drain on top of it to seal it so it doesn't come back up.
That's interesting you mentioned that, because that's exactly what I do after massage, wash my hands, and imagine that rinsing off the residual type of energies that you would get during a massage. But it is through water. Water is like a very good thing to do that with, to clean yourself, cleansing energetically too.
Wow. Very, very interesting stuff. All right, to our guests, do you have a final message or a final word about what we've discussed about Dogman, about interdimensionality? I'd like to ask Gabby first, and then have Elijah speak to us, and then we'll ask our co-hosts some questions. So Gabby, what do you have to say about the Dogman and the interdimensionality, and potentially even the, you know, the Bell Witch?
Well, as far as Dogman goes, I do think there's a couple of things going on. I think some of them are just physical beings. I mean, we've seen reports of pups crossing the street. That indicates something of a biological nature to me. I think some of the more bizarre events do have to do with the supernatural, you know, the devil terrifying people, or maybe even people who are into Satanism. I don't know what they can do, but we don't know that skinwalkers don't exist in some capacity. I wouldn't even rule out the possibility of amalgamations. So I do think there's a couple of things going on. As far as the Bell Witch haunting, I do believe it's probably more demonic in nature.
Well, okay. The whole Bell Witch thing, it actually specifically said it was a demon. You know, it had somebody it specifically liked coming over to the house that it would call Uncle something or Unky something. I think it was Suggs, Unky Suggs. And it says, "Hello, Unky. How do you like being uncle to the devil?" And it would make multiple comments like that. It would always allude to that it was something of a demonic presence.
That'll do the same thing. It'll mess with you the same way and create the same snowball effect, even with the demonic stuff. But I agree with you.
I'd stay clear of demonic type of things. Look into, like, energy work, my recommendation. Like, because, you know, with things that are occult, there might be something that seems there, but then once you dig deeper, it'll pull you into that. You know what I mean? So, like Robin was saying, keep yourself, like, shielded from things. That's my recommendation based on what you guys are saying.
Well, luckily, you know, I got one more part of that Bell Witch video and nothing really has happened. I don't know if anything will come of it when I start the third one, but I got one more part to finish. So got my fingers crossed nothing bad will happen, but we'll see. If it does, I'll just take it to the Lord in prayer.
Yep.
We'll come back on our show and tell us.
That might be a very good solution. Absolutely. We'd like to
get back.
And we'll talk about it. All right, and I guess, Mark, do you have any further comments?
I just think it's really interesting, especially, like, to go back to the Dogman thing. Like, that's the one thing that I've been on your show, and you've talked about multiple times with people like Matt Delf, who knows all about the Dogman, right? And it's the one thing I don't know about. I've researched the Bigfoot, super into that, and ETs over the years, like for a long time, And the only thing that comes to mind is like sparks curiosity is there some common thread? And like I mentioned with Ogopogo, even these like, or Loch Ness monster types of beings, it's like, is there something outside our perception that they can come in through what we perceive as supernatural, but it is very natural. It's using laws of physics of just phasing in, like you change the channels on a radio station. Like at one time that would be magic too, right? But now that's, we take that for granted. Same thing. There could be other things going on here that it's just like, we're just dumb to, we're just ignorant to in a way. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, great. Now, Kyler, you've been quiet all night. I'm sure you have a question or a comment.
I have been completely speechless this entire time. Just listen to all the information and stories that you guys have been talking about. Earlier, Robin mentioned something about, you know, there was a reason why these creatures are in these certain areas, and I actually was curious what that reason is.
Do we have time for me to tell them, John?
We certainly do, and I've been looking for – Kyler, thank you so much. That's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that of Robin, because Robin and I actually talked about that a little bit before the show. You're on the floor, Robin.
Okay. First of all, I would love somebody – and Elijah, this might be something that you could help me with, because I have not done this part of it, but I'd be very curious to – find out over the course of the last 100 to 200 years what went on that ground and that land there, because there's something that ties to the land. Second, a lot of these, not all dogmen are good, not all dogmen are bad, okay? The things that, you know, some of these do over there is absolutely horrific. There's nothing good about them. But we need to understand, first of all, what's going on with them. And part of it, not all, but part of it, these are dogmen, and I, you know, because I mind speak with everything, I have talked to them before. My husband Pat's talked to them as well. I know of two individuals, for a fact, they're there because they were banished, okay? They're in their packs, the dogmen are, Bigfoots are in clans. They're not supposed to, they have laws, okay? The dogmen do, the Bigfoots do, they all do. Whether or not they follow them, it's like with our people. Half our people don't follow the laws either. And if they get too chummy with humans, which is what they're not supposed to do, some clans don't have a problem with it. Other clans have a huge problem with it. And one of the ways they deal with it is they banish them. They're no longer allowed in the packs. For whatever reason, that land over there where they're at, that's where they send them. They send them off on their own. So now you've got a dogman that might have been friendly with a human and is now mad. And they blame us because they broke the law and they're in trouble. They got kicked out of the pack. All of the bad ones migrate there. That's just kind of like, not that there aren't in other places like Grayling, Michigan. You don't even want to go there. But like that particular area, for some reason, is a stomping ground for aggressive ones, both the Bigfoot and the dogmen. There are pockets that aren't bad, but primarily the bad ones go there. Some are banished from the packs that they're in or the clans that they're in. Others know that aggressive ones are there, and they hate us. That's why they go there. That is the reason they're there. It's because they hate humans. And that's a big enough area that they can disappear if they want to. So when they do occasionally come into contact with people, and this isn't, I don't want anybody to think this is an excuse for them, because what they're doing is horrific. Those ones just need to be destroyed. But when they get over there, they go there because there's other aggressive ones with them, okay? All these things work as a collective. The dogmen work as a collective with other dogmen. The Bigfoot work as a collective with other Bigfoots. They go to that area because they can bind together. And the one thing they hate above everything else is us. So now that's where they're at. So you get a lot of these ones that are either kicked out of a clan from the Bigfoots or kicked out of a pack from the dogmen. And that's some of the first places they go. They also like to go up in the cave system in Virginia. They like to go in the cave systems over in different parts of Kentucky. I mean, there's in Ohio Valley, same problem. But primarily, the main source for them to go to when they're removed for disobedience or whatever you want to call it, breaking the law, the codes, whatever, they had to land between the lakes. And that's where they're staying at. and they will fight to the death to protect it. So you've already got that as an issue. That's a big problem, because now you're talking about stuff that is so deadly, and we don't really have a good defense against them. I mean, they do, when they're in physical form, they are 100% physical, undeniably. There's nothing paranormal about them when they're in physical form. They can change that in a blink of an eye, unfortunately, by raising their vibration, right, by raising their energy. They are either one or the other. They can't do both at the same time. So now you've got all these things over there. They hate humans. They don't want to deal with it. So then you have people, you have two sets of people, the kind that, number one, are completely innocent of all of this. They don't know anything about the dogmen. They just happen to be over there because it's a beautiful area. They want to camp. They want to do whatever. And they have no idea what could possibly these dangers could be. And because our government isn't going to let anybody find out about them, they're basically, they're prey for these things. I mean, it breaks my heart because they're not made aware of the risk when they go there. But then you have the other people. And these are people that know these things are there. They know they're highly aggressive, but yet rather than want a positive experience, which you can have with dogmen, I have my whole life, they choose to piss them off because then maybe they can see them. Maybe they can get a picture of them. But, you know, as humans, we're supposed to be bigger than badder than everything, and we're not. And so they go right in there, and it's like poking a bear. Okay, you may want to go see wildlife, and you may want to go see a bear, but how many people are going to be dumb enough to go into a cave with them and take a stick and poke them? And that's basically what happens when you have these groups that literally know they're there. You know, and they go out there to see them. Do they always have an encounter? Absolutely not. Gabby's 100% correct. You know, you don't know if there are any in that area at the time somebody's there. So they may or may not have an encounter, but they're going in there with the intent to poke the bear, which is, it's not safe. And that makes it worse for the people that are innocent, that have no knowledge of them, because they get caught in a crossfire. But
it's
these things
almost
absolutely,
like,
what?
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just, they absolutely are there in that area for a reason. That is ground zero for the aggressive stuff. And I think Elijah was probably right on the head with the fact that this is such a vast area that they can go in there and disappear. And they, why do they disappear? They don't like us. They don't want to be around us. You know, you have the dogmen, the werewolf, the Bigfoot, the lizard man, all of these things that some of them don't mind being around us. I have pictures of all these things at my house, and I didn't even have to go out in the woods. They're just going through the backyard. But I'm not threatening to them. You know, are there ones that would, you know, rather have me killed? Yeah, there probably is. You know, a couple of the ones that I tried to talk to and I did talk to over at LBL, they probably would just rip my head off because I even bothered them, because they hate humans. But most of them are discarded from the pack. They're by themselves, or they've been shot at by humans before. They feel, whether it's rightfully so or not, a human has wronged them, but they go to that area because they hate us. That's why they are. No, I would really like to know what happened on the land.
Right. So it's pretty much like it's either a trap for the people who don't know, or a like a don't tap on the glass type situation.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And unfortunately, because anybody that has any knowledge of it, and I don't know everything about it, I don't claim to, but I do know what I know. And I've talked to them, Pat's talked to them, a friend of mine's talked to the ones over there to find out why they insist on killing people and terrorizing people. And we've all gotten the same answers. You know, not everybody can be wrong. And I've been around dogmen my whole life. Not as prominent as I am per se the Bigfoot, but like mine get along with the Bigfoot here. You know, I've had the hybrids before. I have not had a problem. But when you go to an area like LBL, that they're there because they're aggressive. You know, like if you're a really nice person, would you want to go into an area that is filled with nothing but crime and gun, you know, gangs, and they're shooting at each other? You're not going to want to walk in there, because you know what it is. But in the same respect,
the bad of our humans, they don't want to be around nice people. They want to be with their kind of people. And that's exactly what goes on over at LBL.
Okay. Yeah, I think I understand where you're saying and where you're coming from. That's pretty scary.
It is frightening, and it's really heartbreaking because there's innocent people that get killed over there. And if only they had been allowed to make their own choice as to whether or not they want to be there. Those things over there are deadly. They are lethal. You have pockets of a few secluded, and I say secluded because they try to stay quiet and away from everybody, that are nice. They don't want to take a toe out of anywhere they shouldn't be because of all the aggressive ones. They'll kill their own. They don't even bat an eye over it. So, I mean, you can find it once in a while, a nice one over there, but it's just really bad. They hate people. They don't want us there. That's why they're there.
And Elijah, I don't know if you had anything to add to that.
I reckon not, brother. I associate with the belief that, like Robin said, there's ones of a better temperament and more of a darker temperament.
Mm-hmm.
And, sometimes you may get around the ones that are more aggressive. You have aggressive people. You got nice people. You got bad dogs. You got more behaved dogs, more friendly dogs. I think it extends out into the cryptid world as well.
Definitely. As you know this, we had gotten a warning about a year and a half ago that the numbers over at LBL have increased, and they're getting stronger. There was a couple dog men that I didn't have any contact with them. I was warned about it, and it was the warning was just that they were even worse than what was already there. And there was two of them headed that way, and they were going to supposedly try to take over who's ever running it over there. And they were, to make it worse than it already is. Now, whatever happened with that, I don't know. I never asked. I didn't, I don't go there. And I don't go there not because I'm afraid so much, as I have respect for the fact that they don't want us there. Like, if you go into an area that you know you're not wanted, why? We lock our doors at night because we don't want strangers walking into our home. But yet, if you're sitting in your living room and somebody that you don't know comes walking into your living room and you've got your family there, you're going to do whatever you have to do to protect them. And it's not any different. It doesn't matter if you're a good person, a bad person, a good dogman, or a bad dogman. If somebody comes in where you don't want them to be, you're going to protect everything you have. And those ones over there actually look for a reason to be aggressive. Like, they'll go out, if they're in the area that somebody's camping or whatever, they will literally go just to be aggressive because they hate us.
That is very interesting, Robin. That's very interesting. And I think that's a good point on which we can stop. And I wanted to say this. The information and the conversation has been so interesting. Do you think in about a month, Gabby and Elijah, that you folks could come back?
I reckon if you need me to.
We might need you to. Gabby, would you like to come back as well?
I'll let you know a little closer to time. I do stay very busy with work, but I'll definitely let you know.
Okay, great, because
John, could
the conversation
I say something?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to say really quick in case they don't make it back over here, I think you guys are amazing. I have the utmost respect. No, I really do. I'm being very honest. I don't say things I don't mean anyway, but I think, you guys have been a huge contributor to as far as bringing information about this stuff out. And I really feel like you're open-minded about it because, like, the stuff that I tell people, it's a lot to take on. I get it. That's why I said I think the world of Ken, he strictly deals with their flesh and blood. I have respect for that. It just means he hasn't had that paranormal encounter with them. And they can be flesh and blood. They prefer to be in flesh and blood because it takes too much energy for them to cloak.
and to go through the dimensions. So it's less energy on them if they stay in physical form. But I just wanted to tell you guys, I just think you are amazing. I appreciate all the information that you bring forward, because I think it's topics that really need to come forward. You know, and I just wanted to, that's all I really wanted to say. I just wanted to tell you that I think you're both wonderful, and I do appreciate all the information.
We appreciate you, ma'am.
But
it's been good to meet you, Robin.
It's been wonderful to meet both of you. I do hope you come back.
And you know what? I think it's been wonderful having every one of you on this podcast tonight, because the information has been great. The mix has been great. We've learned a lot, and even though some of it has been terrifying, it's been fun listening to it. I have learned a lot. And
I've
when
learned
I learn
a lot,
lot
from Elijah and Gabby. I really have.
Exactly. They've been great. So anyway, we wanted to say, because it's about our bell witching hour. It's 10:24. And so we want to say good night to everybody. We want to say thanks to Elijah and Gabby Henderson for being here. They've been wonderful. Of course, Robin McCray has been here. She's been great. Mark Johnston, Kyler Smith has been here. We have missed our Surgeon General. Don't know where he is tonight, but he might have had something come up. And Devin Tate is in the middle of moving and getting to a new job, so we certainly understand that. But anyway, thanks to everybody. We'll see you next week on the one.
Thank you. And Elijah and Gabby, thank you again. I learned a lot from you guys.
Hey, thank y'all for having us on.
Thank you for having us on.
It's good to talk to y'all.
There's only one Scary Cast. We'll see you next week, 9 p.m. on Monday nights. Take care. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, guys.
Goodbye.